Hey everyone, welcome back to Vertical Vision. I'm Ernest Finklia, and in today's study, we are going to look at the necessity of being biblically literate. When we normally talk about literacy, we think about being able to read and write, but biblical literacy is the ability to have a good working knowledge of the Bible. Know what it says, know how to navigate it, get from book to book and all. And the sad thing about it is that most Christians have a very limited understanding of the scriptures, not just in the interpretation of them, but just what's in there. And if we're going to follow Jesus, it's imperative that we know how to navigate the Word of God and also how to apply it in our daily lives. So if you have your Bibles handy, go ahead and grab them, and let's get into the Word of God and learn about knowing the Word of God. Father, thank you so much for your Word. Thank you for giving us your heart, giving us the understanding of who you are, who your Son is, who the Holy Spirit is through your Word. Thank you for giving direction for our life, direction to drawing closer to you, to give us insight to what eternity will look like to a little bit of an extent there. We thank you, Father, that you've given us your Word to guide our steps through this life, Father, because it is so complicated and crazy at times. But we have the sureness of your Word. And so as we look at walking with Christ as disciples, help us today to learn how to better walk in the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. So, football season, right? Green Bay Packers, Vince Lombardi. The Packers were not a very good team before Lombardi took over as head coach. And one of the things that he said to the team early on was when they were starting training camp, he picked up a football and he said, "Gentlemen," you may know this quote, "Gentlemen, this is a football." He's talking to professional football players, okay? But the thing was, they did not have the basics. And because they didn't have the basics down, they were not doing well. And so Lombardi brought them to the basics. And that's what we're going to do with the Word of God this morning. This is the Bible. This is the Word of God. There are a lot of people today, even in the church, that do not believe that. But this is God's Word. It is time-tested, time-proven. It has been handed down for centuries, millennia, as God has used this written work to direct and guide humanity. This is elementary for us. It is key. And as we're going to go through the next couple of weeks, we're going to learn how to dig into this. Because sadly, we know as believers we're supposed to read the Bible, but, and this is a part of discipleship, teaching people how to read the Bible, teaching people how to pray, teaching people how to walk with God in the different areas of their life. That's discipleship. But there are a lot of people in the church, and we'll see this, where learning how to read the Bible for themselves is not something that's very common, all right? And because of that, we have a church as a whole that is rather weak. I want us to begin with some key scriptures about the importance of the Bible, okay? There are a lot of people who say, we can't know really if this came from God. These are man's words. This isn't all God's Word. This is just bits and pieces of it. The rest is opinion. That's not true, okay?
We'll deal with that some other time, another class or whatever, but we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt and do know that this is an inspired, supernatural, God-breathed work, okay, book for us. So here's some things as to why it's so important. So Psalm 119, and we're just going to go from verse 7 to 11. And then we'll go to Psalm 119 and then 2 Timothy, okay? The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. So God's word restores the soul of a person. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I might not be the brightest bulb in the box, but I can guarantee you if I obey what this says, I'm going to come out on top. Okay, I don't have to understand everything, but all we have to do is hold to the word because it's sure. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes, helping us to see things more clearly and understand them better. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much pure gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, your servant is warned by them, and in keeping them, there is great reward. The beauty of this, you know, we can learn from our own mistakes, right? But it's better if we learn without having to make those mistakes. If we can just hold to the word of God and do what it says, we will spare ourselves so much heartache and misery. But this is why the word of God is important. With that in mind, go over to Psalm 119, verse 103. And it's going to pick up on that sweetness of the word of God. Okay? Psalm 119, verse 103. It says, how sweet are your words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. And then this verse that is so familiar. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The word of God helps me see what's right in front of me in life, and it also helps me see what is to come. Because of the Word of God, we're actually able to look into eternity. We know how the story ends. We know what's coming because this is a light to our path and a lamp to our feet here and now and in the days and life to come. That is the value of the Word of God. And then 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And we'll read this and verse 17 as well, okay? It says, all Scripture, all right? So if it says all Scripture, that means all Scripture. Even the stuff that kind of puts us to sleep sometimes, you know, if you've ever read some of the parts of the Bible where you're just going, like laws or genealogies, you know what? That's part of Scripture, okay? So all Scripture is inspired by God. It's God-breathed and beneficial for teaching, for rebuke, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be fully capable, equipped for every good work. So what Paul's saying, and you've heard me say this before if you've been in one of my classes, the word of the Lord tells us what is right. It tells us when we're not right. It tells us how to get right and how to stay right. Right? That's what the Bible does. And it exists to help us be fully equipped for every good work, for every good thing that we need to do. The Bible gives us those things. All of the scripture. Sadly, the whole scripture is not often taught. Paul said, and I cannot remember to which church he was writing to, but he said, I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. When Paul taught the word, he taught the word, okay? Not bits and pieces. This is necessary for discipleship. When you look at the life of Jesus, everything he did was bathed in scripture. In his personal life, in ministry, when he was talking to the Pharisees at one particular time, he said to them, you search the scriptures thinking that in them you have life, but it's those that testify of me. Jesus says, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. The scriptures are all about him. He's the author of scripture. And we see him using it throughout the Gospels. And so for us, if we're going to know Jesus, if we're going to know God, if we're going to know the Holy Spirit, if we're going to grow in a relationship with them and have the things that we need to have the life he wants for us, just like Jesus, we have to be in the Word. The Muslims have a term for Jews and Christians. And it's that Jews and Christians are people of the book. There was a time when that name was pretty accurate. But today, it's not so much the case. More and more, people in church are not people of the book. What we're going to look at today and next week are two elements of understanding and using the Bible. One is biblical literacy, and one is biblical fluency, okay? How to be literate in Scripture and how to be fluent in Scripture. So what does that mean? Okay, think of language, right? If we're literate, that means we can read and write. That's what we usually think, right? So if we are biblically literate, it means we have a good working knowledge of the Bible. That's biblical literacy. Biblical fluency, a term that we really don't hear much about, but it's the ability to utter a thing without thinking about it, okay? So if you speak another language and you're fluent in it, that means you can utilize that language without thinking about it. It's natural to you. It just goes into effect when you need it. Over the years in college and high school, and after too, I've studied some languages. Back in the day, I was literate in those languages. I could read and write Spanish. I could read and write German. I could read and write Hebrew. I was going through some of our files and stuff. We're clearing out drawers and boxes and all about a couple of months ago. And all my Hebrew stuff that I had from when we lived in Israel, I'm looking at it going, I used to be able to read this. And I'm looking at stuff in my own handwriting. I could write it. I was literate. but I'm not fluent, and I wasn't fluent back then. If I were to use any of those languages, I really had to think it through, and it was very hard. It wasn't natural for me. And there were times where I would take parts of one language and parts of another and stick them together because my mind was in foreign language mode. I did that once when I was in Germany doing some mission work, and I'm trying to speak German, but my mind's throwing some Spanish in there. And the gal that I was talking to just started laughing at me. And she wasn't being mean, but it was just this weird thing coming out of my mouth. I had knowledge, but I wasn't fluent. And there's a lot of people who know the Bible, but they're not fluent. They can't just readily, boom, engage it and use it when they need it. This week, I want us to look at the biblical literacy part of it and how to be literal. And I want to read you a story. You might find it funny, but unfortunately, it shows some light as to where things really kind of are as far as the church and the scriptures, okay? A young minister was interviewing for his first pastorate. The pulpit committee had invited him to come over to their church for an interview. The committee chairman asked, "Son, do you know the Bible pretty good?" The young minister said, "Yes, pretty good." The chairman asked, "Which part do you know the best?" He responded saying, "I know the New Testament best." "Which part of the New Testament do you know best?" asked the chairman. The young minister said, "Several parts." The chairman said, "Well, why don't you tell us the story of the prodigal son?" The young minister said, "Fine." And so he begins to tell them about the prodigal son. He said, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus who went down to Jericho by night. And he fell upon stony ground, and the thorns choked him half to death. The next morning, Solomon and his wife Gomorrah came by and carried him down to the ark for Moses to take care of. But as he was going through the eastern gate into the ark, he caught his hair in a limb, and he hung there 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards did hunger, and the ravens came and fed him. The next day, the three wise men came and carried him down to the boat dock, and he caught a ship to Nineveh. And when he got there, he found Delilah sitting on the wall. He said, 'Chunk her down, boys, chunk her down.' And they said, 'How many times shall we chunk her down? Till 7 times 7? And he said, 'Nay, but 70 times 7. And they chucked her down 490 times. And she burst asunder in their midst. And they picked up 12 baskets of the leftovers. And in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be?" The committee chairman suddenly interrupted the young minister and said to the remainder of the committee, "Fellows, I think we ought to ask the church to call him as our minister. He is awfully young, but he sure does know his Bible." And it's funny, as there is so much confusion in what is written there. But sadly, most Christians, or most people in churches, I should say, do not know the Bible. Okay? A recent Pew Research study revealed that 45% of professing Christians read their Bible once a week, one time. There's an old saying, not reading the Bible for 1 week makes 1 week. We have to be in the Word. And for just the minimal thing of once a week to have only 45% of the people interviewed say that's how much time as they spend in the Word, that's bad. In 2022, a Gallup poll says that only 20% of professing Christians regard the Bible as literal, inspired Word of God. 20% of people who profess to be Christians believe that the Bible is the inspired, perfect Word of God. Furthermore, only 50% of professing evangelical or born-again Christians have a biblical worldview. And when I look at that poll, it's like evangelical or born-again Christians. And it's like, what does that even mean? Because if you're not born again, you're not an evangelical or a Christian, okay? You're only a Christian if you're born again. So I'm not sure what they're thinking when they ask a question like that. But only 50% have a biblical, I mean, I'm sorry, 50% have the view that this is the Word of God. Last year, an Arizona Christian University study revealed that only 6% of professing Christians have a biblical worldview. Only 6% of people who say they're Christians actually think in line with the Word of God. Okay? That's scary. How does this happen? How do we have it where so few people in churches claiming to be Christians do not believe this is the inspired Word of God? They do not have a biblical worldview? How does that happen? I believe the first place to lay the blame is with pastors and teachers. Because most pastors and teachers do not teach the Bible. They teach from the Bible. They do not teach the Bible. So they will do topical messages on things that are important to them or they like or they're comfortable with. And I'm not saying topical messages are wrong, okay? But they should not be the norm. As the Lord leads, if there's something that the Lord wants to touch on, a specific topic, do what the Lord says to do. But as Paul said, not shunning to declare the whole counsel of God, we need to teach the Bible. Being in ministry for a long time, I was reached out to by different groups and organizations to where I could get online subscriptions for sermons. I could buy books that actually had sermon outlines, and all I had to do is fill in my little anecdotes, my little stories and bits of humor to kind of make it my own. I know pastors, new pastors, that had their little pack of sermons. And the norm was usually about 2 years worth of sermons. And then if they stayed at the same church, they would just rotate through again because generally you would have more people come through or people forgot what you taught 2 years ago. Or in churches that change out their pastors regularly, they would go on to another church and nobody knew the difference. It was all new to them. That's not teaching the Bible. For me, I grew up in church and Sunday school, prayer meeting every week with my mom, in church as well, the adult service, okay? It was the main service. When I was in high school, actually I wasn't in high school, I take that back. The summer after my senior year before I was going into college, I worked a job where I was alone a lot. And so I had my big, we used to call them boom boxes, okay? But I wasn't really, didn't have a lot of money, so my boom box was about this big. It wasn't so much of a boomer. But I had a cassette deck, I had a speaker, and I had the radio. And I would listen to the local Christian radio station, and I listened to pastors who taught the Bible in a way I'd never heard before. They would take the scripture and they would pull out of it what it meant, and they would also bring in other parts of scripture and other parts of the Bible, and my understanding of the Bible grew as listening to them teaching in, let's say, Romans or Matthew, and they're going back to Habakkuk and Zechariah and Genesis and tying it all together, and I'm like, whoa, this is wild. And as they taught me, then I began to learn how to do it in my own quiet time, because it was becoming natural to me. I was becoming fluent. I had never known this stuff before. Most, like I said, pastors and teachers do not teach the Bible. It's bits and pieces. It's not deep. Another thing is, most people only read parts of the Bible. And they don't know any better. They're sheep, okay? If you're not discipled, you're not going to know what to do. So you just do your best. A lot of people will use like a daily devotional. You know, they'll open up like an Oswald Chambers, or they'll open up a Spurgeon devotional or something else, and they'll read the verse for the day and whatever that person has to say about it. And those are great. I love them. But they're not supposed to take the place of being in the Bible ourselves. Those are supplements. They're like a vitamin, okay? Nobody starts taking their vitamin and pushes aside the meal, right? The vitamin just helps where maybe the meal isn't giving you all the nutrients that you need. But we don't just forego the meal. But a lot of Christians, because they just don't even know how to read the Bible for themselves, they'll just do the Devo. They're learning something, but they don't know how to get into the Word for themselves. So for the rest of our time, I want to look at how to be biblically literate, okay? The first thing to be biblically literate, to where we actually have a good working knowledge of this. I've got one friend, he's a pastor in Arizona. One of the things he does every Sunday morning is have the entire congregation repeat the books of the Bible in order so that they know at least where things are at. I had about a year or so ago, I was teaching, and a guy came up to me and he said, "Hey, can you like just at least refer to the page numbers in the pew Bibles so that we can find where things are at?" The poor guy didn't even know how to navigate where books of the Bible are. That should not be. We have to be in the Word. So one of the first things is, to be biblically literate, we have to read the whole Bible, okay, the entire thing. And we need to read whole books, of course, and that goes without saying if we're going to read the whole Bible. But a lot of people will go, "Well, I don't have time." And it's like, well, okay, we have time to be on Facebook. We have time to surf the web. We have time to binge watch Netflix. How much time does it take to be in the Word and get where we're at least literate? You can actually read the entire Bible in 70 hours. Okay? Take 3 days off from work, sit down, boom, you can blow the whole thing out. Don't sleep, okay? But it's possible to go through the entire Word of God in 70 hours. And as I was looking at just some other ways people do this, I came across this program. It's called the B90 Project. And this project actually has online an itinerary that you can go through, and it's reading 12 pages of the Bible a day, and you go through the entire Word of God in 90 days. I'm like, that is cool. That means you can go through the Scriptures 4 times in a year. Do you think if you read something 4 times that fast, you might start catching some stuff? Oh, yeah, absolutely. And as we just catch those things, people say, well, I don't understand all this stuff. You don't have to. Become familiar with it. Let the Holy Spirit teach you. Talk to people about it. Listen to good biblical teaching and get an understanding. Just get in the Word. You know, plug your nose, get your little floaties on, and dive into the deep end. And the Lord will help you know the Word of God. You have to be in it. And we have to meditate on it. Turn over to Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. And we're kind of going to do some literacy here. We're going to remain here for the rest of our time. But Psalm 1, chapter 1, verse 1. And this is a familiar passage to a lot of people. This is what it says to us. Blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. How do we meditate on the Bible? What does it mean to meditate? And if you've been with me at any time talking about this, you know it means to chew the cud. A cow, 7 stomachs. You take it in, you chew on it, you swallow it, you burp it up, you chew on it, you swallow it, you burp it up. You keep chewing and chewing and chewing on the Word of God until you absorb it into your heart and your soul and your mind. That's meditation. But how do you do it? Has anybody ever heard of what's called the inductive Bible study? Okay, a couple of you. All right. So the inductive Bible study method is really simple. It's just observation, interpretation, and application. Okay? Observation is really simple. It's the who, what, where, when, why, and how. What's going on? Who's talking? Why are they saying it? What's happening? Interpretation is what does it mean? And then application, and this is where the fluency comes in. How am I supposed to apply this to my life? How does it get personal in me? And so if we're going to be biblically literate, it begins with the observation and the interpretation, okay? So, if we're going to observe Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, what are some of the things that we see here? You know, who is talking? The reality is, we don't know. It doesn't tell us. The Psalms were written by several people, and it was put all together into one volume. We don't know who the psalmist is. Who's he writing to? Don't know. He's writing to his listeners because this is a psalm, which means it's a song, and people didn't have Bibles that they could just grab off their shelf at home. This was something that was sung. So you have somebody writing to people who are listening to this in song form. And what's it talking about? It's talking about being blessed, right? It's talking about not following evil ways. It's talking about delighting in the word, right? It's talking about meditation and prospering in what we do. So that's that observation part, okay? Interpretation, okay, we've got, all right, this is kind of what's going on here. Interpretation is more involved. We have to consider literary style. Is it poetry? This is. It's a song. Is it poetry? Is it history? Is it doctrine? Is it prophecy? Sometimes in one passage, you can have some or all four of those actively happening. And it's important to know what's going on because it is vital to interpretation. Mormons teach that God is a man just like any other human being, but has been exalted and, you know, gotten their power and all of this other stuff. Why do they say that God is a man, a literal man, just elevated? Because the Bible says he has eyes, he has a mouth, he has a nose, he has hands, arms, feet. So he has to be a man. But see, they're not looking at the literary style. That's called anthropomorphisms, where we give human attributes to something or someone to try to help us get our mind around something we can't get our mind around. God, we cannot get our mind around. And so the Bible, God explains himself to us in ways that are tangible. So we have to know the literary style. We need to know what's going on. We have to let the Bible interpret itself. Okay, let the Bible do the interpretation. People don't need my opinion or my view. And we can dive in so often. Commentaries aren't a bad thing, don't get me wrong. But the Bible will interpret itself for us if we know it well enough. And we're looking for those interpretations and all, it will make itself clear. So, again, going back to Psalm 1, what does it mean? Blessed is the person who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. What does that mean? It's pretty obvious, right? It's pretty obvious. We're going to be blessed if we're not walking in sin and wickedness. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. What does delight mean? Delight is to take pleasure in and to find satisfaction in. So the person who's blessed is a person who's not walking in sin, but they find their satisfaction and their pleasure in the Word of God. And they meditate on it day and night. We've already talked about what it means to meditate. It's not like Eastern mysticism where you sit there and you empty your mind. You're actually filling your mind with the scriptures and you're chewing on what you've been reading that morning throughout the day. Or if you come across something, maybe you're listening to the radio, Christian radio, and a verse or a passage is mentioned, and you just chew on that the rest of the day. Maybe you go to bed and you're chewing on it, you know? That's what it's talking about. Day and night, being like a tree, it'll make us strong. The water of the Word, because Jesus and the Bible talks about the Word of God being like water, right? So you let the Bible interpret the Bible. And we're getting fed by the Word and we're getting strong and we're bearing fruit. So that's how we interpret, but we have to let the Bible do it to itself, and we have to have things in context. What does the passage mean within the verses around it? What does it mean in the verses in that chapter? What does it mean in the entirety of that book and the audience that it's to? What does it mean in the entirety of the Bible? That's how we get our context. It's been said that a text out of context becomes a pretext. And a lot of people will take a text of Scripture out of context and use it as a springboard to go in a direction that they want to go. We need to observe what we're reading. We need to interpret what we're reading so that we can apply what we're reading. And that's what we're really going to do a deep dive into next week, how to apply what we're learning in the Scriptures. Not just in our personal quiet time, but in church as we get things from the pulpit, on the radio, if we're getting something, you know, that we're listening to. We want to be able to do a deep dive and say, okay, you said, Lord, this is for my building up, my edification, so that I can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Show me how. How do you want me to apply this? And he will. But we have to be people of the book. We have to be. Scripture tells us that God holds this above his very name. He glorifies this because this is how he has chosen primarily this and the Word of God, Jesus Christ, to reveal himself to humanity. We have to know this. There's life here. There's success here. There's strength. Father, help us to get into the Word. Help us to hunger. You said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Lord, help us to hunger and thirst after your Word so that we might walk in righteousness before you, so that we might be able to discern as things are coming from pulpits and radios and TV and YouTube and all sorts of other things where people are teaching the Bible, that we would know how to accurately discern what is right and good and solid, that we can spot false teaching and error because we know our Word. We know what you say. That we would be like Bereans, and when we hear something, we go and we take the Word of God and we search the Scriptures to see if what we've heard is true. Paul commended the Bereans for that. May we have that same heart. Lord God, we want to grow. We want to be trees planted by the rivers of water, bearing fruit, even in times of drought, so that we can be your hands, your feet, your heart, your body to the world around us, that we might be salt and light. Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. Please teach us. In Jesus' name, amen.